Sorry. Yes? Okay. Okay. Yeah. This October 23rd to 26th, Father Bucci is coming to Massachusetts. And if you want to know anything, see this lady over here, Kathleen. Want to raise your hand, Kathleen? She'll be able to explain everything to you. It would be really good to be there if you can. It's a weekend at the Our Lady of La Salette Shrine. Anything else? Edinburgh, Massachusetts. Okay. Anything else? Okay. You're welcome. Okay, so the scepter of command is very, very important. We're going to learn how to do what Jesus... Remember when Peter was walking on the water and Peter started to sink? He didn't say, "Great job, Peter, you walked 20 feet." He says, "Why did you falter? Why did you fail? Where's your faith?" It's the same thing here. God is going to do something, and I don't know how he's going to do it and when he's going to do it, but he's going to do something, and he's going to ask us to link ourselves with Louisa to take this scepter of command with absolute dominion for his glory, not for us. We're nothing. You know, his glory, what he wants as Lord, King, Master, Savior, God. So again, it's if you're little, if you're insignificant, if you're nothing, then God can use you. But if you think you're important, God cannot use you. He can't use you. So in our littleness, we say, "I can't hold on to this." But Louisa, you hold on to it and you hold on to me. See, we want to be the little children on the lap of Louisa, who's in the lap of Our Lady, who's in the lap of Jesus. That's nothing less than that. Little babies can't walk. Newborns, their feet are round. They can't walk. Their legs are weak. We can do nothing. So with this scepter of command, you have to understand that what God is asking of us to do is let him reign. He is going to lead us, guide us. It's not us. So don't think that you're going to be on a ship and say, "I'm king of the world." That ship went down, didn't it? So it's to be God is king of the world. And we are his children, and we want to participate in his life. See, it's nothing. We are nothing. I mean, somebody said to me, "Well, I can't do a command." Well, you can't do a command. It's God who's going to do the command. And it's going to be glorious. Whatever he wants to do with us, it's going to be glorious. So we'll continue. Oh, the last thing. Do everybody have a prayer at the very end? We'll do the consecration and the yellow sheet. Okay, great. So volume 20, and Bob will have probably another disc after this. So there'll be... I don't think we can do 7 pages in 40 minutes. Okay. Okay, volume 23, 10:6-27. This is what's so great about this. As you read this again, there's going to be more that God is going to teach you as you read it privately. And that's why this is why I give out these papers. As you read this theme, God will tell you things that he won't tell me. He'll tell each one of you something that Jesus wants you to know. So the scepter of command, he's going to tell, if there's 100 people here, 100 different things to 100 different people. And then tomorrow, tell you something different. And the next day, tell you something different. But it's not separate. It's all together. And he will, and the more you read, the more he expands your capacity for these truths. So volume 23, 10:6-27. "After this, I followed my beloved Jesus and the acts he did in redemption. And I tried to follow him word by word, work by work, step by step." And that's what we want to do. Always follow Jesus. "I wish nothing would escape me." And again, we want our whole life. See, our intellect must be the intellect of Christ. Christ has to think in our thinking. Okay? That's why the church teaches us about abortion. You know, abortion is God love. Somebody said it last night loud. God loves babies. Well, the devil hates babies. This is why there's abortion. So to learn the will of God, to learn in the mind of Christ, we love babies as well. We will do anything for a little baby. Okay? We have to have the intellect of Christ. This is what God is asking of us. So the other thing is then we have to have intellect, the memory of Jesus. Not of what people said to me, about my family. No, I don't care about that. It's to remember Jesus. And that's what she's doing. Word by word, step by step, I wish nothing would escape me. So it's intellect, memory, and then we can surrender our human will. I don't want my human will anymore. I want God's holy divine will. So it's the three together, the three blessings that God gave to Adam. Intellect, memory, and will. We must have the mind of Christ. That's why we listen to the church. We obey the church. Humanae Vitae. When Humanae Vitae was given in 1986, it was how to have human life. What it means to be human. And the people of the church rejected it. The people of the world rejected it. You know, if we had said yes to human life, we would now be living divine life. But because we failed, the church really failed, the people of the church failed, we're killing babies, euthanasia, we have an alternative lifestyles, drugs. I mean, the final two plagues are homosexuality and drugs in the book of Revelation. This is where we are, you know, and again, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. Think about that one. Jonah's gone. Obliterated. Boy, that when I heard that, I went, my, something's up. Thanks to the man in the balcony. Okay. He told me not to tell his name. I can say his initials, Frank Coda, but I won't tell you his name. Okay, I'm sorry. And I wish nothing would escape me so that I might press him and ask him in the name of all his acts, all his tears, all his prayers, all his pains for the kingdom of his divine will in the midst of creatures. Do you see why we remember Jesus? So that your redemption, everything that you've gone through, so that the kingdom can be established. And my adorable Jesus told me, my daughter, when I was on earth, my divine will which reigned in me by nature and that same divine will which was present and reigned in all created things kissed each other at each encounter, and longing for their encounter, they would make feast, and all would created things would compete in order to meet with me and give me the homages that befitted me. So again, that's shows you a glimpse of the marriage that's coming. As earth would hear my steps, the earth would become green again and flower under my feet and give me homage. As I passed by, it wanted to release from its bosom all the beauties it possessed, the enchantments, the most beautiful flowerings, and so much. So many times I had to command it not to make these demonstrations, and the earth, to give me honor, would obey just as to give me honor, it would flower. Now, the same guy that showed me, that said that his hand, his arm, well, in the glorified state, in that glorified state, this man who walked out in February, the flowers, the rose bushes came to full bloom and then bowed. And he's walking outside with Jesus, and he says to Jesus, what's going on? And Jesus said, the flowers are... know that they're in the presence of their Creator and are blushing. That's going to happen to us. With Jesus in us, as we walk all of creation, I mean, walking in water is going to be nothing. What you're going to see is creation honoring Jesus who lives in us. See, we're not supposed to be separated from Jesus. We're supposed to be one with God, fused with God. The priest says that every day. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Now, to say that you become God is heresy. But Jesus wants us to be like him. So we're going to, in the glorified state, we're going to see the same thing. We're going to, and as a matter of fact, in the divine will, I mean, you can go back to the Garden of Eden. You can go, we can walk right outside and you are there. Because Jesus said that to Louisa. When Louisa went out into the garden, and the only pictures, this picture here is Louisa in the garden. She's in that little wheelchair, and they rolled her into the garden. First time in 40 years she wasn't in the garden. When you read volume 25, she's the first time she's with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament in 40 years. And then it's volume 26 is the first time she's outside in the garden. And Jesus says this is a simile of the Garden of Eden. It's not as beautiful. It's not as flowery. He says, but basically you become the third Eve. There's Adam and Eve. There's Jesus, the new Adam, Mary, the new Eve. And now the third Adam and Eve, so God is great, will be the Pope and Louisa. This is why we pray for the Holy Father. He will be the first to live in the divine will. And all of us are here to help him enter into this. Okay? So it's the same thing with us. We, as we walk outside, praying at the divine will, we will get glimpses of Eden. We'll get glimpses of paradise. When you pray the rosary, when you're praying the hours of the Passion, you will get glimpses of Golgotha. You'll get glimpses of the Praetorium where Jesus is being scourged. You'll get glimpses of the Garden of Gethsemane. See, there's no time or space in the divine will. So don't limit God. You know, let God take you where he wants to take you. You know, like I said before, to bilocate is going to be common. He says that to Louisa. It's going to be common. As a matter of fact, he took Louisa every night and tour the universe, toured time, went through time. And his Aunt Rosaria would say that in the morning her socks would be dirty and have holes in them from all the walking that Jesus and Louisa would do throughout the universe. So let God have his way with you. I mean, you're going to be astonished what God wants. It's not human. Okay? It's supernatural. And he's going to lead you to things that will it'll completely astonish you. It will overwhelm you. But see, this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. He wants to do things that, and again, don't be upset that, oh, I didn't go to Gethsemane. Let God do what he wants. Each one of us has a unique and specific role in the divine will. You might not go to Gethsemane. You might end up in Jupiter. My brother lives in Jupiter, so I mean, you never know. God is going to take you where he wants to take you. Okay? Don't say, well, I've got to know it. They're doing this. Don't be jealous of what anybody else is doing. Just let God have his way with you, and he will lead you, guide you, direct you to exactly what he has planned. See, I can't wait to hear everybody and their understanding of the divine will. I can't wait, especially the theologians, when they read this and they study this, because they know sacred scripture, they know the dogma and doctrine of our faith, they know the saints' lives, and it will all point to the divine will. I can't wait to see that done. So, Jesus says, the Son always tried to meet with me, to give me the homages of its light, unleashing all the varieties of beauties and colors of it from its solar bosom before my eyes, to give me the honors I, God, deserve. Everything and everyone tried to encounter me in order to make their feast for me, the wind, the water, even the little bird, to give me the honors of its trilling, warbling, and singing. All created things recognized me and competed among themselves to see which one could honor me and make feast of me for me the most. And it's the same thing for us. We bring flowers to Jesus and Mary. We want to honor them. May should be a time when the altars of our churches should be filled with flowers. Who can outdo the next person with flowers? I mean, you know what I mean? It's who wants to make feast for Our Lady during her month? You know, it's like Christmas. Who can outdo the next parish with flowers? For Easter, who can outdo the next parish with flowers? This should be, why are we doing this? Because we love Jesus and Mary. We want to honor them the best they can. And now they're showing us that we can do more than giving flowers. Okay? One who possesses, this is it. The one who possesses my divine will has the eyesight to be able to recognize what belongs to my divine will itself. Adam alone did not recognize me. Okay? Because he did, Adam at first possessed it, but his, after that did not. He did not possess the eyesights and the fine sense and smell of my divine will. I had to tell him in order to make himself myself recognized. But with all my telling, many did not even believe me. How many churches are empty? Because one who does not possess my divine will is blind and is deaf without the sense of smell to be able to recognize what belongs to the divine will. Not to possess the divine will is the greatest unhappiness for the creature. He is the poor Cretan, the blind, deaf, and the mute, who does not possess the light of my divine fiat. He uses the very things created things by taking the excrements that they release while leaving inside of them the true good which they contain. What sorrow to see creatures without the divine nobility of the life of my divine will. So, without the divine will, this is who we are. Poor Cretans, blind, deaf, mute, who are eating the crap of everything. I mean, that's what he's saying. We're filled with the excrements. God wants us to be, see, this is why I'm saying, with this scepter of command, you're not going to be a Cretan, you're not going to be poor, you're not going to be blind, you're not going to be deaf, you're not going to be mute anymore. You're not going to be eating poo-poo. God wants to fill us with his divine. See, he says, I have a food that you do not know of. And that's living in the divine will. To eat the first bread of the divine will. The second bread, the super substantial bread, is the Holy Eucharist. But the first bread is the bread that Adam ate where he had a perennial communion. The second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, we receive him in a mystical way, a real way, mystically, until that host dissolves. Okay? So that's why that 15 minutes after Mass, it's not for fellowship. If you want fellowship, go to a Protestant church. It's for adoring God and worshiping God and glorifying God and praising God, really falling in love with God. In the name of everyone and everything, as everybody is, you know, in their fellowship, you don't, again, you don't have to give them the evil eye, but you pray in their name, in their noise. Lord, I praise you in their noise, in their laughter, in their shouting. I praise you with all they're doing in the divine will. So you're bringing them the divine will in the midst of creatures. So again, how much glory is that? Volume 27, 126, 30. My daughter, all created things by virtue of my divine will in which they live, perceive when my divine volition wants to manifest a truth that belongs to it. Okay? As you read, you're going to perceive what God wants to tell you. Okay? The more you love this, the more you will possess it. God bless you. You're welcome. And, okay. Belong the truth to it. To the knowledge about it or wants to do one of its works. So, again, our life is going to be different than the saints. Okay? We're not going to build churches. We're not going to build monasteries. We're not going to start foundations. We are not going to join religious life. We're not going to. It's to live the life of Adam before the fall. To live the life of Jesus. To live the life of Mary, which was breathed into Louisa. So that's why getting to know her, it's a glorious thing just to be home alone. To be home alone with God is glorious. Like people say to me, I'm all alone. Well, are you reading the divine will? How can you be alone if you're reading the divine will? You have everything, right? We have Jesus, Mary, all the angels, all the saints with you. How can you be alone? You know, I'm not having any fun anymore. Well, I want divine fun. I don't want this other fun that might send you to hell. It's God is so in love with us that he's giving us the gift that Adam lost. This is, and who possesses it? Luisa Picaretta. He is so in love with us that he wants us to begin to live an abundant life with the scepter of command, with absolute dominion. Isn't that astonishing? I mean, I just can't get over it. People say, how can you talk all day? I could talk for the rest of my life about this. This is the most fun anybody could ever have. I mean, it's so beautiful. It's so holy. It's God. He wants us to be one with it. It's really being married to God. So it says very clearly, since the divine will that dominates all creation is one, the souls linked to Luisa feel within themselves the communicative, the creative, the persevering virtue that divinely wants to divinely operate and divinely make itself known in us. Therefore, these souls linked to Luisa feel as if another sister were added to their midst. Okay? And they celebrate the newcomer. Okay, that's not we the seas. It's all of creation, all of the angels and saints are celebrating another sister and adding to their midst, which they celebrate the newcomer. So each word that I, God, have spoken to you, Louisa, each word that we read on my divine will has been a fiat pronounced by us, triune God, that has come out like a child from the womb of our divine will. See, do you see how what God gives is divine life? So each word, Jesus says, that is pronounced or that is spoken, as we read it, comes in out like a child from the womb of the divine will. Okay, so we are receiving divine lives. See, nothing in heaven is dead. Nothing in heaven is inanimate. Everything in heaven is alive. Everything in heaven, the grass is alive. And since we are children of God, when we get to heaven, when we walk on the grass, well, in paradise, the grass is going to say, stand on me, stand on me, stand on me. Because they want to serve us. Everything is living. There is nothing dead in heaven. So we're going to see, this is the amazing thing. We are not trapped in time and space anymore. Okay, as you begin to see, that's why time is speeding up. The saints have said that the time will speed up to as we come to the end of the age. Okay, we're going to enter a new era, and the new era is the divine will. The new era is an era of peace, joy, and happiness. It's heaven on earth. Our God is getting us ready as we read, study, and put this in practice. This fiat is the same fiat of that of creation, that forming its echo makes the vital strength felt where my divine will reigns. It happens when our divine fiat wants to operate, wants to pronounce itself by making itself known, by manifesting more of its truths, so as to a family, when they see that their mother is about to give birth to other little children, the whole family celebrates because the family becomes larger. And every time it increases by another little brother or another little sister, they make feast and delight in the one newly arrived in their midst. Such is the creation. Since it has come out of the womb of my divine will, all my works form one family and are so bound among themselves that they seem that one cannot live without the other. My divine will keeps them so united as to render them inseparable because they feel that one is the will that dominates them. Okay, so only one family survived the flood, Noah's family. Okay? Jesus says this now. This family that he's forming is the family of Louisa. Okay? This family, only one family is going to survive the fire. Okay? What's coming is going to be bad for most, good for some, but bad for most. We are the ones that are calling this fire down on earth. We're saying, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, come beat in my heart beating. Come, divine will, come, divine will. So we're calling this fire down, but we have to be part of the family of Louisa. Okay? She is the little newborn. And again, if we are in her lap, she's in the lap of the Blessed Mother, and the Blessed Mother is in the lap of Jesus. And you can see that when the Dormition of Our Lady, the early church, had the baby Mary's soul in the arms of Jesus. Have you seen that? The Mary is like a little newborn in the arms of Jesus. She's the little newborn. Louisa's the little newborn, and we're called to be little newborn. Okay? We're giving God total reign of our lives. We're not going to be in charge anymore. The scepter of command that he wants us to have is God. It's not us. I don't, like I said, I am never going to eat a hot dog in my human will ever again. I'm never going to dance. I'm never going to go for a swim in the human will ever again. I'm never going to jog in my human will ever again. I want Jesus to jog in my jogging, Jesus to swim in my swimming, Jesus to eat the hot dog when I eat a hot dog. I don't want to ever, ever do anything human again. See, that's when we surrender to God, how happy he is, because nobody wants God to be in charge. That's why they're killing babies. That's why they're living the alternative lifestyles. That's why they're doing drugs. They want to be in charge. Okay, we stop all that because that's what we were part of before, but we don't want that anymore. And what's great is if you've done the Divine Mercy Novena, again, all your sins are gone. Even your temporal punishment due to sin is gone. Unheard of in the church. And yet God has done this for us because these are the worst of times. Now, all the children are pagan, most of them, because if you're tattooing yourself, branding yourself, carving yourself, piercing yourself, that's what pagans do. But the great thing about pagans is they can be converted. And see, our job is to convert the world. Not by standing on street corners, but by basically saying to God, reign in me. Come, divine will. Send your fire. Purify us all. Come, divine will. Come, reign in me. The peace, the joy, the happiness that you will possess will convert people to loving Jesus and loving Mary. Because they're going to say, why are you so happy? It's fiat. Why aren't you? See, misery loves company. That's why people are always complaining, always negative. Misery loves company. And when you keep on saying fiat, the misery disappears. Because they don't want to talk to you because you don't want to be part of their company. And you're free to read the divine will more. That's the best part. So it's if you can really say fiat in every situation, not only how happy you will be, but how free you will be. And that's why this freedom that he gives you is so astonishing. Now, hearing a speaking so prolonged of my fiat and the many of its knowledges, it keeps manifesting to you, Louisa, and that we are reading. They feel that the number of the divine generation of my fiat increases in their midst. So as you read this, the family of God, the divine generation of the fiat increases. Therefore, the family of the creation feels itself expanding and celebrating the prelude of the kingdom of my divine will. It's coming. Therefore, when I, God, speak to you, Louisa, about my fiat, it pronounces itself by manifesting itself. The heavens reverently lower themselves to receiving the new birth and its child into their midst to pay him honors to celebrate the newcomer. My daughter, when my divine will wants to pronounce itself, it extends everywhere and makes its echo and its creative strength felt in all things in which it reigns. See, it's heaven on earth. After this, I continue to pray, as Louisa said this, so that my blessed Jesus would hasten in making the so longed for kingdom of the divine will come upon earth. See, that's what we are longing, that the kingdom comes soon. Soon. Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. This is one of the saddest things that Jesus said. If I have to, I will wait centuries. And we say to Jesus, we want the kingdom. We want it now, soon, hurry. And that's why when you start reading the round book, and I'll tell you, when you start reading the round book, I really do believe that the kingdom is going to be formed quicker. As you start praying the way Jesus prayed, the way Mary prayed, the way Adam prayed before the fall, and now the way Jesus has taught Louisa and now us, everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. We want to hasten in making the so longed for kingdom of the divine will come upon earth. And my beloved Jesus is though wounded by such a prayer, for he himself so much longed to see the kingdom of the divine will upon earth, told me, my daughter, the prayers done in my divine volition to obtain the advent of his kingdom upon earth hold a great empire over God. Do you see? It's because this is God's prayer. It's not a human prayer. See, the scepter of command is not human. And God was never going to give it to politician. He's never going to do that. As a matter of fact, Jesus said about the politicians. He said to Louisa, if you enter into politics, you will lose your soul. That's why we pray for them every day. Power is worse, is the one of the worst sins, taking power. That's why the more that you can give away, the more that you can be less of, the happier you will be. That's why Francis was so happy. No power. No, not to be in charge of anything or anyone. See, when you're free, you don't want to be in charge of anybody. Because you don't want anybody in charge of you. You're free. You're God's child. You have the freedom of sons and daughters of God in the divine will. And you don't want to be controlled by anybody, and you don't want anybody to control you. You know, you don't want anybody to, you don't want to be in control of anybody around you. And that's the freedom that God gives. So this prayer in the divine will, which is the scepter of command, holds a great empire over God. God himself cannot rid himself of this prayer, nor can God not grant the prayer to be answered. In fact, as the creature prays in my divine will, we, triune God, feel the strength of our will that prays with its empire, with its immensity, and extends everywhere and embraces the universal strength. This is the strength of the church. The prayer extends everywhere in such a way that we, triune God, feel surrounded from all sides. We, triune God, feel our own divine will praying within us, and form from that prayer, it changes into a command. And says, I want. It's God wants. And it rules over our divine being with its sweet empire. And then we, triune God, say, we want. You see, this is not holy, good, and saintly prayer. See, the saints prayed in a human manner, but in a saintly way. The divine will prayer is command. We are one with God. God is one with us, and it is a command. Okay, now, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when the divine will reigns? What's going to happen? You'll go to hospitals, and you'll walk down the whole corridor, and people will be healed. Why? Because it's Jesus. Not you. You're nothing. You become the skin for Jesus. Did you understand why everyone would be Catholic? Why this is going to happen? It's going to happen because God's plan is universal restoration. Not just a band-aid healing, but a healing that lasts eternally. See, we're not supposed to go old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. That was never part of God's plan. God's plan was to be eternally young as He is eternally young. And so what He is doing, what He's going to teach us, is how to pray the way He prayed. You know, when He went off to the mountain to pray alone, what was He doing? When Our Lady was home alone, what was she praying? Okay, this is what God is going to teach us. This prayer, done in the divine will, changes into a command. The soul will say, "I want." And then God says, "No, we want." That's how close we are going to be to God. One with God. So we're going to have to learn this, okay? We're going to have to study this. God wants to teach us what this is about, okay? Nobody possesses it yet. But God is going to teach us how, okay? So don't go around saying that you're commanding in the name of God, because we've got to learn this. See, it's like Jesus says, I can't give you the keys to a car if you're 3 years old. You're not going to know how to do this. But the divine will is more than the keys to a car. And He's going to teach us how to live a divine life. Okay, and this is not New Age. It's the life of Jesus. It's the life of Mary. Therefore, Jesus says, the prayers done in our divine will can be called divine decisions, divine commands that carry a signed deed of what is wanted. And if what is wanted cannot be seen instantly, it is because we are depositing the secondary causes so as to let what we have decided to give come out of us. Okay? This is going to, see, it's don't limit God. Don't say, well, I can't do this. Okay? God is going to let you do this. Okay? But we have to learn how. All right? So it says this. Therefore, it is not to be put in doubt. So don't doubt this. That sooner or later, one will see, descending from heaven, what with decision has been granted to him. Blessed is she who trusted in the promises given to them by the Lord. That's why this day is so important for us. Because where Our Lady has gone, we hope to follow. Okay? But not after we die. It's to begin to live heaven on earth. Now, before Louisa, all you could do was hope to die to follow Our Lady. But what we're going to die to is our ego and our will, so that the divine will reigns in us. Again, this is very, very, don't put in doubt, because sooner or later, you're going to see what was granted to you. Therefore, continue the prayers in our fiat, prayers that move both heaven and earth, and even God Himself. If you love to see my kingdom come upon earth, and I, God, will pray together with you in order to obtain the intent. More so, since the ultimate purpose of creation is precisely this, that a divine will was to reign on earth as it does in heaven. I mean, how glorious is that? Do you see why our God is asking us to just stop, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off the music, turn off your books, focus on this. Read this book of heaven, study this book of heaven, and watch what God is going to do. 5:28-26:30. After this, I continue my round in the divine fiat. See, this is great. This is what we're going to learn. when we read the rounds. And I arrived at Eden. See, there you can go to the Garden of Eden. I'm telling you. It's pretty there. It's pretty neat there. And if Louisa has gone there, and we're linked to Louisa, we also can go there. And I pause in thinking of the reciprocal love between God and Adam, innocent, and how the divinity, finding no hindrance on the part of Adam, poured itself in torrents upon him, enrapturing him to itself, and with its love, by sweet attractions, making him to hear its voice, and all tender to say to him, "Son, I love you. I love you very much." And Adam, wounded and enraptured by the eternal love, repeated his refrain, "I love you, I love you." This is the round. It's to fall in love with God. And flinging himself into the arms of the Creator, he would cling to God so tightly as to be able to be unable to detach himself as to the only love that he knew, and living only to love him. But while my mind was wandering in this reciprocal love of God and of the creature Adam, my sweet Jesus, all goodness, told me, "My daughter, what a sweet memory is the creation of Adam. Adam was happy, and we too felt the fruit of the happiness of our work. We felt such pleasure in loving him, in being loved back, that our divine will preserved him for us, fresh and beautiful, and carrying him in its arms of light, and let us contemplate how beautiful was the work of Adam that created by us, our dear son. And as our son, he kept himself in our house amidst our endless goods. And as a consequence, as our son, he acted as master. He was the king of the earth. It would have been against the nature of our divine love, not letting Adam, the one whom we love so much and whom loved us so much, act as a master. In true love, there is no mine or yours, but everything is in common. And besides, letting Adam act as a master caused no harm to us. On the contrary, it gladdened us, Triune God, made us, Triune God, smile. It amused us, Triune God, and gave us, Triune God, the beautiful surprise of our own goods. And then how could he, Adam, not be master if he possessed our divine will and lord over everything and dominates everything? In order not to make him master, we would have had to place our divine will in servitude, which could not be. Wherever the divine will reigns, there is no servitudes, but everything is mastership. Therefore, for as long as Adam lived in our divine fiat, Adam knew no servitude, and as Adam sinned, as Adam withdrawn from our divine volition, Adam lost the mastership and reduced himself to servitude. What a change from son to servant. He lost the command over created things and became servant of everything. And by withdrawing from our holy divine fiat, Adam felt shaken from his very foundations. Adam felt his very person vacillating. He experienced what weakness is, and he felt himself as servant of his passions, and he made himself feel ashamed of himself, and he reached the point of losing the dominion of himself. So strength, divine light, divine grace, divine peace were no longer in his power as before, but he had to beg for them with tears and prayers from his Creator. Do you see then what living in my divine will means? It is to be master. A servant is one who does his own human will. So God wants it stopped. That's why I never want to do my human will again. I never want to do anything in my human will again. I only want to do everything in the divine will. Come, divine will. Come, brush my teeth as I brush my teeth. Come, divine will. Come, sow in my sowing. Come, divine will. Come, washing the windows as I wash the windows. I want to do nothing in my human will again. See, this is what Jesus is teaching us. You want to be miserable? Live in your human will. I know when somebody is miserable. I know when somebody is living in their human will. Because the two are the same. You're not in the divine will, you're miserable. And see, we have to stop that. We have to discipline ourselves to say, I am not going to enter into that divine, that human will anymore. I'm not entering into that misery anymore. and I'm going to live in the divine will. See, he's really asking us, pleading with us to really begin to live this life. I mean, he can't really force us to do this. It's either we want it and we strive for it, or we don't want it. I mean, it's either or. I mean, how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, and how much he wants us to possess this gift. So we'll end there, and there will probably be another CD for Bob later this week. And we'll all kneel and pray the prayer of the consecration, and then we'll get a blessing of the relic of the true cross, if we can kneel. In the name of the Father. If you can't kneel, just sit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O adorable and divine will, here I am before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, I prostrate before your light. I, the littlest among all creatures, come, O adorable will, into the little group of the first children of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I beseech and implore your endless light, that I may want to invest me and eclipse everything that does not belong to you, in such a way that I may do nothing other than look, comprehend, and live in you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. In this heart, the human will no longer have life, ship forever, and will form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With that I shall be always happy. I shall have a unique strength and a sanctity that sanctifies everything and brings everything to God. Here, prostrate, I invoke the help of the sacrosanct Trinity, that they admit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, so as to restore in me the original order of creation, just as the creature was created. Celestial Mother, Sovereign Queen of the divine fiat, take me by the hand and enclose me in the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my tender mother, and you guard your child and will teach me to live, to maintain myself in the order of the bounds of the divine will. Celestial Sovereign, to your heart I entrust my whole being. I will be the tiny little child of the divine will. You will teach me the divine will, and I will be intentive in listening to you. You will lay your blue mantle over me, so that the infernal serpent may not dare to penetrate into the sacred Eden, to entice me and make me fall in the maze of the human will. Heart of my highest good Jesus, you give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and nourish me, to form in me the life of the supreme will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the custodian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously, and will never give it to me again, that I may be sure never to go out of the will of God. Guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may grow flourishing and be the call of the whole world into the will of God. Celestial court, and I promise you to live always. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in the name of Jesus, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.